To the word of God is a mystery. To his sons, a revelation. For he has made us a kingdom and priests to reign on the earth forever. Join us as we expose you to this revelation through God's servant, Apostle Joshua Selman,
of Eternity Network International,
replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.
Lord, we enthrone you, King of the nations, King of kings, Lord of lords, Majesty. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We love you. That's why we are here. We truly love you from the depths of our hearts. beyond our songs of worship.
We can never repay you, but from our hearts we're saying, Lord, that we thank you. I can never repay you, but from my heart I'm saying, Lord, that I thank you.
Lift your hands and worship him.
We can never repay you, but from my heart we're saying, Lord, that we thank you.
Father, we thank you. We truly thank you. Bless our hearts tonight. And we ask that you help us. We came to receive help from above. We came to receive an impartation of the wisdom of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'd like you to greet one another. Just sit down. You're late. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. We apologize for the rain. Praise the Lord. I'll start tonight with a word that the Lord gave me. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to be very attentive. God gave me a word on Sunday while I was in Zamfara. The Lord gave me this word. I believe that it's not just a word for us, but I believe that it's an encouragement from the Spirit to the body of Christ. And the word of the Lord came very expressly. I shared it with the School of Ministry students, and I think that I believe that the foundation for this word is the fact that there are many believers that the fact that we may not be able to see certain noticeable victories in our lives, it doesn't necessarily mean that that a shift is not taking place in the spirit. Are you following me now? Now, one of the things that seems to be a disadvantage to man is the fact that we walk with time. And because we walk with time, we tend to measure our progress based on time. Hallelujah. And if after certain periods of time, we do not seem to see certain levels of progress, we can get discouraged. Hallelujah. And sometimes we may not know that while we are being discouraged, we are commanding great victories in the spirit. But because we are unable to see with our eyes the victories that are being won in the spirit, oftentimes the devil cheats us using our senses. He makes us believe that all our prayer is for nothing. All our sacrifice are contending for spiritual things. And I believe that this seems to describe the state of many people here, and by extension the body of Christ, especially because we're in the Ember months. There are many people that have had expectations for so many things, family, your life. And it's great to trust God. But every time you remember time, you gauge time versus your trust, It makes it look like, oh Lord, will this year come like that and pass me by? Will my father still round up this year with that terminal disease? Will I still not press into this dimension? And then the word of the Lord came to me. And this is what the Lord told me. And this is for the body of Christ. Keep on challenging the gates of hell. Your consistency will bring a manifestation. It may not seem to happen at your time, and it may seem, but things are shifting in the spirit. Soon you will experience an avalanche of breakthrough and new levels of possibilities. He said, continue and remain consistent. That was all that the Lord told me. Continue. Consistency is the secret to breakthrough. Consistency. Doing the same thing again and again. And telling yourself, time will not cheat me. I refuse to be discouraged. I will keep praying. I will keep fasting. I will keep studying the word. I will keep walking in righteousness. There's no room to give up. Even when men tell you, where is the testimony for all these sacrifices? Like Job, you will say, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait. Hallelujah. Can we pray for 1 minute over that word? I'd like us to pray and say, Father, I receive grace to be consistent. For those of us who are almost gassing out, I'd like us to pray. Oh, we refuse to give up. Surely there is an end, the Bible says. Surely there is an end for your family, for you. Surely there is an end. I guarantee you, the end is better than what you are seeing right now. I don't care what the situation is. Surely there is an end. Oh, there is an end, there is an end, there is an end. You will not remain at this level forever. A day will come, the glory of God will arise upon you. Pray. It says, though our outward man perish, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. I like you to pray. There's no giving up. It's not an option. I choose to remain. I choose to be consistent. I will pray. I will storm the gates of hell according to the word of the Lord. He said, and I will build my church. And God will build your destiny. And God will build your family. And God will build your finances. And God will build your CGPA. And the gates of hell. The gates of hell. If you insist, I guarantee you the gates of hell will give up. Pray for 1 minute. I will be consistent. There's no giving up. I've come too far. I've come too far. I refuse to give up. Pray. I refuse to be discouraged. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Let the medical report be lies. Let God be true. Let my financial situation be a lie. Let God be true. Let my academic situation be a lie. Let God be true. Let my admission issue be a lie. Let God be true. Let my jobless situation be a lie. Let God be true. And let marital delay be a lie. Let God be true. And let every man be a liar. Lord, we receive grace. We hold on. We hold on. Though weeping endures for a night, joy comes with the morning. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know. I like you to speak to principalities and powers. There's no giving up. There's no giving up. There is grace to remain. There is the staying power of the Spirit. I may be tired. My body may be weary.
But I contend for grace. I receive a fresh supply. A fresh supply from the throne. A fresh supply. Pray the prophecy into your heart. I may cry, but I refuse to give up. I may be discouraged, but I refuse to give up. Oh, my God will arise as a mighty warrior. My God will arise. My God will arise. It will not remain like this forever. A day of victory is coming. A day of celebration is coming. A day of thanksgiving is coming. Pray. My pain of today will become my testimony of tomorrow. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Discouragement, the Lord rebuke you. I command powers of depression and discouragement. Leave my life. Go ahead and pray. The word of the Lord has come again. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. God cannot fail. I may not see, but I believe. Like the walls of Jericho, it must come down. Like the walls of Jericho, I may go around seven times. I may go around seven times. It may seem slow, but my God cannot fail. Oh yes, my God cannot fail. The gates of hell will bow. I assure you, the gates of hell will bow. If you remain, those yokes of darkness over your family will bow. If you remain, those enchantments, those spells, if you pray, if you stand as a priest, your family will experience that breakthrough. Oh yes, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves. I will pray. I will pray. I will pray. As I wait, I will travail. As soon as Zion travails, she shall put forth a son. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says, I saw a mystery in heaven. It said a woman was about to give birth. This was the mystery that John saw. A woman was about to birth something she had been carrying. And the moment the child was about to come, he said, I saw a dragon. And the dragon came to stand, waiting to see that child that will be born. Kabola katayaba. And the Bible says there was a wind, and it took that woman to a place. It took her to a place of safety where she gave birth. Let me tell you, the contentions over your life is because of what you carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of you ask questions, why is it easy for others except me? It is because there is something unique about your life. Why is it that the door opens at will for others? But when I come, it seems like everything negative. It's a fight for your prophetic destiny. The devil is threatened by your existence. He knows that your rising is equal to the rising of nations. I'd like you to pray 1 minute and say, I will endure. Oh, I will endure. I will endure to the end. One thing I know is that my God is alive. I will endure. It may be easy for others, but I know that the difficulty is because of the anointing that is within me. It's because of the prophecy that is upon me. The challenge is because of the grace, the quality of the grace. Pray. pray. The Bible says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you go through various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith produces perseverance. There is a reason for the challenge. It's a contention from hell. It's a sign that you are mighty. It's a sign that you are great. It's a sign that there is an anointing upon your destiny. I refuse to give up. Hallelujah. One more prayer point. Listen. Listen. Listen to me. Champions in life are men who stand and face challenges. And while others are running away, they are running towards it. Because every time the season for entering the throne comes in your life, you will see Goliath. Goliath is a sign that you are close to your throne. Mande kalabo shataya. Goliath always looks like a terror until you know the covenant that you operate on. Goliath always looks like a terror. Many of us have given up. I tell you the truth. There is more in your spirit. It's a fight for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The moment Jesus was born, a star in the sky signified that something was happening. And a wizard called Herod received the signal right from his palace. He said, look for that child. What did Jesus do? You don't need to offend anybody. You just need to carry an anointing. Oh yes, you just need to carry an anointing. If you don't have an anointing, the devil can even pass you and go looking for those who have it. There are some people who are not oppressed, whether they pray or not, because they don't command territorial power in the spirit. But there are many, the devil knows, instead of fighting 3 million people, just fight this one man. Fight this one man. Come on now. We are going to pray. Just one last time. Listen. I'd like you to be angry and say fresh passion to endure. Fresh grace to remain. Satan, I'm going nowhere. Lift your voice and pray. I may have cried, but the anointing is still in me. Come on, you are still anointed. Oh yes, the anointing is in you. There is an unction from the Holy One. The fight is for the anointing. The fight is a fight for the grace. The fight is a fight for the anointing. In your family, no one has risen with this kind of anointing. The fight is so that you will lose the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen to me. Hear me. There are many of us. Everyone in your family has given up. You are the last person standing. One by one, the devil kept frustrating them until they gave up. There were many people who were born again. Some, it's not like they are not Christians. They are Christians, but you know that they have cast out. The Bible says, if you turn aside in the day of battle, it said your strength is small. Hear me. For many of us, you are the last altar standing that represents hope and breakthrough in your family. And the devil is determined, if only I can get this sister down, I will return this family back from where they are coming. Hallelujah. And for many of us, you are about losing that priestly position. But God sent a word like an arrow that you will stand again. Listen. Hear me. This is a very prophetic moment. This is not the teaching tonight. I just brought the word of the Lord. We are going to pray. And as we pray, hear me. I believe that as we pray, there will be an impartation of fresh courage. When did you start running away from Goliath? Who taught you that? Who taught you that great men run away from Goliath? Let me tell you something. After tonight's meeting, a rod and a staff will come upon your hand. You will get back like Moses and say, Goliath, I'm going nowhere. I come with the rod of a higher priest. Who taught you to run? Who taught you to run? Who taught you to run away? Champions don't run. Champions don't run. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. Hold on. Out of every armor that is given to the believer, there is no armor to cover your back. The Bible says a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. But there is no provision for the back. Hear me. I'm bringing the word of the Lord. If you run away from that Goliath, some of you, your family is in trouble. Some of you, the prayer you have been praying will only be answered if you close your eyes like Esther and say, if I perish. When did you start running away? Because there's no money in your family. When did you start running away? Because you know that there is witchcraft in your family. You have done everything and it looks like it cannot move. Who told you it's not moving? Hallelujah. God has shown some of us in dreams and visions that you are making progress in the spirit. But you wake up and physically there is nothing. Whose report will you believe? Hallelujah. For one last time, you are going to pray. I'm a warrior. There's no giving up. I take on my spiritual arsenal. I confront the gates of hell. Pray. I was not designed to run. I was not designed to run. I faced destiny with courage. I faced devils with courage. I confront altars with courage. They must bow. Victory is established already.
Toto pakata balalaba.
Hallelujah. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive fresh grace. I receive fresh anointing to confront the gates of hell. And I will not give up until victory is established. I will not give in until I emerge a champion. I'm standing on behalf of myself, my family, and my generation. I will not give up. I will not give in until I win. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, Jesus.
I choose the way of the Lord. Choose the way of the Lord.
I choose the way of the Lord.
I choose the way of the Lord.
Let's continue from where we stopped last week. Gaining spiritual stature. Technical, please, can you help me? Can it be clearer than this, please? Gaining spiritual stature. Part 2. We began our discussion last week. Please make sure you have something to write. Those of us who are just coming, as much as possible, please try to get a hardcover note, just something like this, so that you can take your spiritual growth very serious. This is a training. The Bible says, surely there is an end. When you commit yourself to spiritual things, you sow to the Spirit, there is a reward. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we said last week that according to Scripture, there are three natural man. The natural man. The Bible tells us, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. So we understand that there is the natural man. And I told us that the natural man is one who is unregenerate, one who has yet to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The destiny of the natural man, from the perspective of eternity, is hellfire. There is no confusion about it. And the terrible thing is that the natural man can be a member of a church, can even be baptized in water, can be an elder, a deacon, a pastor, probably. But if you've not had that encounter where you have surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that new birth experience is what ushers you and grants you access to partake of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The second man, the second kind of man that the Bible shows us is the carnal man. The carnal man. The carnal man. The carnal man. The carnal man is one who is saved. He has confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. However, he is still a slave to the flesh and its desires. The carnal man is still subject to the ways and the demands of the old nature. I'll take it again. The carnal man is one who is saved. He's saved. He's a believer in Christ Jesus. He believes in the things of God. He's had the new birth experience. But then, somehow, he finds out that he's still a slave. And it's going to be the basis of our discussion tonight. A slave to the flesh and its desires. He is still subject to the ways and the demands of the old man or the old nature. Now, I'd like you to know that this is a very serious spiritual condition. The goal of this series, Gaining Spiritual Stature, is to help us to break through the limitations of the flesh and to become spiritual people indeed. I think that I began to say last week that one of the issues that I've seen with the body of Christ, it may not necessarily be that we're not born again. The truth is many people have been able to have that encounter. They have confessed Jesus. They truly believe in the things of God. But I think that the problem with the church in one word is flesh. One word, flesh. So many believers are still at this second phase. The carnal man. Hallelujah. Primarily, I'm sorry to say it, because most of we preachers that teach people are still at that realm. Are you getting the point now? So, the best we can do is to bring people past the realm of being natural men. Because we ourselves have not studied the spiritual principles that transit men from being natural to being the spiritual ones. Are we following tonight? So we see a lot of things. We're going to examine this in detail. I'll be very brief. But this is a very serious spiritual condition. Where a man is born again, but he cannot realize his best. Because there are all kinds of weights that stop us. Is that true? Many pastors today, and I tell you sincerely, at least 60 to probably 70% of pastors in the church in Nigeria are suffering from this predicament. The weight of the flesh. There is a grip of the flesh. There is so much carnality. Hallelujah. And I'd like you to follow me because I want us to be able to gain stature in the spirit. That we become men of power. Men who can command kingdom things territorially. Men who can do business with God in deep waters. Hallelujah. Carnality. The Bible talks about being carnal in nature. What is the problem with this kind of nature? There is an issue with it. Let's look at the issue very quickly. What really is the issue? Because many people say, after all, I'm going to make heaven. And you see, let me tell you something. I'm sorry to say it, but many of the teachings that we have marketed around the body of Christ have come in as very sincere ways to accommodate the limitations that come with this realm. There are certain possibilities that the Bible provides that you will never understand when you live at this realm. Are you getting my point? Until you rise past the escape velocity of this life of the flesh, then you will experience the quality, the beauty of being a spiritual man. Say amen. Now, when people have lived in this realm of the flesh all their lives, they try to create all kinds of logical explanations to make it look like, look, there is no way out. For as long as you are in the body, this is the predicament that you have to live by. And I want to tell you sincerely that there is a way out. How many of us believe there is a way out? Oh yes. Oh yes. Either Jesus truly conquered sin and the nature of the flesh, or he lied to us. Praise the Lord. But it's not enough to just say it. Oh, this and that and that and that. There is a system in the kingdom. A system of transformation. And this is what I'm going to guide us through. The issue with this carnal nature is that, number one, it robs the believer from experiencing the victory that the cross and the blood of Jesus provides. I'll repeat myself. The first issue with this kind of nature is that it robs the believer from experiencing the victory that the cross and the blood of Jesus provides. You can talk about it, but you may never enter into the experience of that reality. There are many people that talk about victory in Christ. We talk about it, but I'm telling you, if we are to be honest with ourselves, we teach a lot that when Jesus died, he defeated sin. Is that true? He defeated Satan. He defeated the grave. The power of sin is broken. And we make bold claims about it. But if we are to be very sincere, many people are still strongly under the grip of this element that we claim that when Jesus died, he conquered. That means something is wrong with our theology. We need to either the cross of Jesus Christ, like the worship team sang, they said, where's the power of the cross? I say on Sunday how much I love revival, but then I cannot even read my Bible. And that's the case with many people. It's not like you don't love God. You find out that there seems to be an ability you cannot explain that renders you helpless in the face of certain situations. I counsel a lot of people, and when they come to me, they say, man of God, I love God. They even cry. They say, but I cannot understand why this habit or this and that. And for some of us, we even engage in certain spiritual exercises. But in the midst of it, at the end of it, you literally feel powerless. And every time we run, people come to us, men of God. All we tell them is, you don't understand or you don't have faith. It's not true. It's not true. Something is really wrong. Because many believers have not been able to reconcile the teachings that we receive in church about the fact that Jesus said it is finished. How many of you believe Jesus truly conquered Satan? How many of you believe Jesus truly conquered the flesh? So why is it that I get born again? I used to sleep around and smoke and drink and do a lot of things, for instance. And then I get born again and I love God. I'm even a member in church, but I find out I'm still a slave to these things. In spite of my praying in tongues, in spite of this and that, let me tell you, even Paul the apostle encountered certain things. He began to communicate his struggles. I'm going to be showing you. Is there no genuine escape route? Is there no genuine platform for victory, where when you say, I am victorious, I have broken past certain limits, can it not be authentic and true? You know, because we don't live like the way it was in the Old Testament, so nobody really knows maybe the private life of anyone. So it's easy for us to make a lot of bold, seemingly faith claims. Is that true? But the truth is, many believers are asking questions. I am yet to see the perfection of the victory of Christ in my life. I love God. Everything the preacher said I should do as my own part, I have done. Yet, I seem to be a slave. This is the second realm. And this is where the church is. We establish churches from this realm. As pastors, we hold conferences and conventions with these limitations. And when people come, because as they are talking to us, we are also victims of the same thing they are saying. We can only offer little or no help. Is that true? If a man of God, for instance, is suffering from masturbation and pornography, for instance, and a member now comes and says, Daddy or Papa or whatever, I love God, but I think that there is a challenge in my life. How can the man now help this person when the truth is that this is a question he's asking in the secret? He can wear the suit and do a lot of things, but in the secret. I've spoken with many men of God, and there are many pastors that have come for counseling, and they have opened up themselves. Man of God, I love God, but this and that area. Some of them have gone for 40 days fasting. Some of them have done a lot of things. Am I being sincere tonight? You know,
part of my goal is to discuss some of the things that the body of Christ runs away from. This is why we do not sustain true spiritual power. Is that true? There are men of God that still go back to sleep in the night and demons still oppress them. They wake up, wonder what has happened, and they still dress and run back to church. I've shared my story. I was a preacher and I was doing well. I was still being oppressed by demons. It was a personal contemplation. How can I come and preach and see miracles and yet go back to bed and demons come to press my neck, want to choke me? What a paradox. Yet I see the glory of God so much. And I had to be sincere with myself. That's what a lot of us need to do to ourselves tonight. You must open up yourself and say something is wrong. And I'm humble enough to find out what is this thing that is making my prayer life up today and down tomorrow. Some of us, the last time you read your Bible was last Friday and it was here. And you love the Lord. Tonight God is going to help us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many of us right now, we're even afraid of ourselves because the truth is we don't know what we can do now. We don't even trust what we can do right now. Praise the Lord. The man of God is afraid of counseling ladies because he doesn't even know what is left. The last time he saw something that emerged from him, it surprised him. Ha! Yet, we just pretend that everything is okay. How could we tell a lie? Do you know this lie is deception? The end of faith is a manifestation where you can walk in victory. Brothers and sisters, if that victory is not established in your life, I am telling you again, something is wrong. This is not the gospel that our fathers carried. There were men who walked upon this earth and demonstrated effortlessly that the flesh can be conquered. Is that true? There are men of God who walked. Right now, it has become so bad that if they see a young man, once you are a young preacher, people just look at you and nod. Say, "Toh, may God just help us." Because they can assume and say, there is no way this guy is not doing X, Y, Z. Or if there is blood running in your body, no way. It has become an acceptable thing. Because we have seen, not to criticize, but we have seen bishops, reverend, pastors, after 10, 20 years in ministry, they come up and they make all kinds of stupid confessions. A man has been preaching with parishes and branches, and one day he stands before his congregation and says, "I need to confess. For the last 15 or 20 years, I have been gay. I like men." How do you explain this? What about the crusades? What about the wheelchairs? It's not like something happened 1 year ago to say, "Okay, you, where did you go? Abi, you didn't pray." It has been like that in the last 20 years. Yet conventions were still held. Yet powerful faith teachings were being taught. I am the righteousness of God. Sin has no dominion in my body. And we finish all of that and we go back and we know we are slaves. There is a chain that is upon many in the body of Christ. And it looks like we are helpless. I began to study, when I started working with God, after studying E.W. Kenyon, one of the people that I studied very intently was Watchman Nee. There are two men that have influenced my life as far as the victory that the cross brings. Number one is Watchman Nee. Number two, Peter Tan. These men demonstrated, I saw it through their writings. And for Peter Tan, he's still alive. I saw these people mentored my life and made it, it was very real. They didn't just say it is possible. They showed me how to make it happen. Is that true? See, let me tell you something. The fact that something has been settled in Christ does not mean it will manifest automatically in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? I keep saying this thing again and again. There are many of us, the way we are now, your friend cannot come and stay in the same room with you. Your friend cannot come and spend weekend with you because you are embarrassed to find out what they may discover. There are many of us, our phones and everywhere are passworded. We are preachers, but they are passworded because even us were embarrassed by what they will find there. There are many people now, if they are to go and check the history of your laptop, the history page in the last 3 or 4 days, we will be amazed at the things that you have browsed. The flesh. What is this spiritual element that refuses to let believers to rise to that position where we demonstrate experientially that certain possibilities are real? Listen, let me tell you something. I'm still discussing a few things. Do you know, look at me, victory over the flesh is not willpower to resist evil. Willpower is just physical. It is the natural contribution of a man to keep himself holy. Are you getting my point? That's not what I'm talking about. If I see Folake right now, look at me, and I'm lusting after her in my heart, I'm desiring that, how will I get this lady, for instance, to commit all kinds of immorality with her? And then I later say, Kai, I square up. Opportunity has not created itself. That does not mean that I am free from that grip. Are you getting my point? There are many people. The reason why certain things have not happened in our lives is that the atmosphere has not been created. It's not like we are that bold. Because if I stand right now and I'm still suffering from the urge for immorality, I'm still a slave. You are free when the urge leaves you too. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? So all this willpower thing that people try to do, for how long can you use physical strength? I tell you, there is a system in the spirit. And if you do not know that system, get ready for scandal upon scandal in your life. Someone follow me tonight. So it robs the believer from experiencing what you have been professing. Christ, the power of sin is broken. This and that and that and that. And yet, we find out that the truth is we are slaves to sin in many respects. Number two, the issue with this nature is that the believer in this condition will hardly experience sustained spiritual growth. That's number two. The issue with this kind of nature is that the believer that finds himself in this condition of a carnal life will hardly be able to sustain his or her spiritual growth. Many of us will testify that it is almost impossible. You know, when people send me text messages and, you know, they just want to commend me, one of the things they say, and I receive it with all humility, is that, man of God, you have been consistent. We have known you for X, Y, Z years. And it only keeps getting from glory to glory. You know that if you are faking something, time will reveal it. Is that true? No, you cannot. If you fake holiness, time will reveal it. Brothers and sisters, if you fake purity, if you fake certain things, a day will come. There will be a loophole that will reveal that this was not a true conviction. If you fake prayer life, you fake that you are a man of prayer, something in your life will create an occasion and men will say, Kai, it's not true. There are lots of people, I've seen them pray. Let's pray, let's pray. You know that this is not a man of prayer. He's just doing it. There is something about a testimony of the altar of incense upon your life. When you see a man of prayer, it's not by jacking and looking macho. There is a testimony that there is an incense that rises on your secret place. If you don't fast and you lie, or you just do general fasting and you are saying, look, there is always something in the spirit that betrays you. Men cannot see it, but they can discern that what you are saying is not truly you. They can't explain why they are feeling what they are feeling. Every time they stay close to you and they pray, nothing catches them. That's a sign that it's a lie. Please, are we getting blessed? The Lord has brought this to help us. We are breaking fallow grounds in the spirit. And I trust that many people will be released tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sustain spiritual growth. So you find out that a brother or sister is zealous, loving the Lord, fasting for days. And after 6 or 7 months, the person now comes back and says, I don't understand this, you know. I've gone back. And you're like, you mean you that even organized 3 programs in 1 week, say, I've gone back. Do you know why? Satan has an advantage of being the light bearer. I've told you this. So Satan is not a fool. Satan knows when you are truly delivered from a thing. If you are not, even when you try to break, it's like a slave that there is a long chain. They can allow you to move. So you are just moving and you think it's victory. And you reach a point. And Satan says, you think I'm so daft? And then you come back and you find out. Some of us have been even accepted that, see, there is no way out. Everybody is like that. No, everybody is not like that. Yes, everybody is not like that. There is a realm that when you remain, when you hear someone else speaking, you will think they are lying. Certain possibilities only become activated under certain atmospheres. Are you getting what I'm saying? Number 3, let's hurry up. The issue with this kind of nature is that it grants access to demonic influences in that believer's life. The problem with remaining in this carnal nature is that it grants access, it still grants access to demonic activities in that believer's life. So it's very easy. That's the reason why you find out that sometimes it looks like in our lives, deliverance is endless. Deliverance is endless because it looks like the same weights that we are being delivered from. And then after a while, we return back. Jesus gave us a key in the spirit and he said it this way. Satan cometh to me. Have you read that scripture? He said, and does not find anything. That means when Satan looks at you, he looks at what belongs to him. And that becomes his point of entrance into your life. So there are many people, do you know that to an extent that many deliverance ministries, especially deliverance ministries that do not work with accurate perception. Let me tell you what the devil does. Sometimes the person comes, the man of God is not so anointed, but because these spirits know that their exit and entry into the believer's life is, it does not have any restraint. Before the man of God takes his hand to lay on the person, the demons just leave. A nice exit. And the person just gets up and says, wow, I'm free. And then they know that they know what buttons to press in the spirit. And you respond to a nature that belongs to them. And they get back into your life. Very simple. Is someone hearing what I'm saying? That's why for many people, they can say, I was healed. Or I came to church. I was delivered. I was blessed. I felt light. On my way going home, something happened. A mysterious fight just evolved itself on your way home with somebody. And you enter and you feel, I'm not normal. Something has happened. Yes, truly, something has happened. It was called, what my knee is such a gift to the body of Christ. That man had an encounter. Many of you who do not know what my knee, Watchmani was an Asian. He was locked in the prison for many years. And it was during that time he had encounters with Jesus. And Jesus taught him the principle of spiritual victory over the flesh. Scarce teachings that people don't teach. Please, if you can look for Watchmani's materials, I'd like you to sit on it and grow. It may be uncommon, but I assure you, these truths will make you of dexterity in the spirit. Are we getting blessed? So there are many demonic operations in the lives of people. That's why you can see a pastor, a GO, can just come and say, Rose, when I asked you to bring water, did you bring? before she says no, he has given her a dirty slap.
Ah, no, something is wrong. Oh. Let me tell you, something is wrong.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Or a man of God sees the jeep of somebody else and he now starts saying, you know, the Lord says, give and it shall be given unto you. We are going to examine a few things. Let me rush because I have a lot to talk about. Number four, the issue with this kind of nature is that in its worst state, please write, I'm dictating because I don't want us to miss anything. In its worst state, the believer can lose his salvation through idolatry and rebellion. When this situation becomes acute, it sustains the capacity to take the believer to hell. And this is where we get the balance. Notice I told you the carnal man is saved. By the way, let me deliver you once and for all, if you are new in this place, that there is no such thing as once saved, forever saved. Hello? Please hear me. I speak to you as the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to throw that theology out of your mind. If once saved, forever saved, I'd like you to justify why Aquila and Priscilla died. Because they were part of the church. What happened to their salvation? Number two, explain to me the mystery of this man in the Bible called Demas. Have you read the story of a man called Demas in the Bible? Paul, the apostle, began to speak and was cautioning people against Demas. Demas, who used to be a faithful brother, who had now deviated from the faith. You can listen to my teaching in the apostate church. And so there are many believers who are on their way to hell and are convincing themselves that I remember in 1995, I think I can remember, you will see somebody in the beer parlor arguing as an elder of a church. He said, let Jesus come and you see whether I won't go. Hard baptism, and he believes that based on that, he has his baptismal certificate that he was immersed in water. He has a day. He has the counselor slip. He even has records of foundation class. And he's justified that even Jesus Christ will admit me to heaven. What a shock. Hallelujah. What is idolatry in the context that I just used? Idolatry is the worship of other things other than God. Any other thing that is not God Almighty is idolatry. Anything. Let me hurry up. The last point, number five now. The issue with this nature is that it stops the believer from becoming a true lampstand and a written epistle across his territory of influence. It can stop the believer from being a true lampstand. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Is that true? Let me finish the dictation. I know some of us are writing. It can stop the believer from becoming a true lampstand and a written epistle across his territory of influence. God has given every one of us territories of influence. But when you remain in this nature of carnality, it robs you of the opportunity of becoming a true lampstand. The Bible says, do everything without complaining or arguing. It says, so that you will be called blameless and pure, children of the Lord, you know, without perversion and this. It said that you will shine like stars as you hold forth the word of life. You see that? John said, I saw seven lampstands. And that talks about the Catholic Church, the perfect church, the universal church, the ecclesia of God. And they were all burning. None. You say you cannot light a candle and put it under a bushel. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But the fire of the Holy Ghost is the fire that comes to light your candle so that you can lift it and place it, and men can use your life as a reference, as a template of what godliness is. That when God wants to correct them, you will just use your face. Somebody wants to go to a beer parlor, he just sees a vision of you. God has spoken to him. The person just turns back and says, "Kai, now wow." Just like God used Moses and Elijah to represent the law and the prophet, God wants to use our lives as spiritual yardsticks to define to people the scope of what true holiness is, what true righteousness is, what true love is, what true victory is. But he's largely not been able to go that far because we have not understood the system that helps us to partner with him. Is God helping someone tonight? Hallelujah. Write this word down, carnal. Let's discuss the word a bit. What does it mean to be carnal? To be carnal means to be sensual. S-E-N-S-U-A-L. To be sensual. Ruled by your senses. That means your activities are only coordinated by the impulses of your senses. A carnal man is one who is ruled by the factors. By factors and agencies other than the Spirit of God. The carnal man is the man who is ruled by any other factor or agency that is outside of the Spirit of God. It could be any other thing. Once you are not governed by the Spirit of God, you are a carnal man. Even if you pray in tongues. That you pray in tongues is not a sign that you are governed by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts how that one time when Philip the evangelist preached the gospel and there were miracles and people got saved. Is that true? When people got saved, he even began to instruct them in the way of the Lord. And then he called on Peter and John, or Peter and James now, the pillars of the church, to come and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says one of those disciples, already born again, when he looked and he saw that Peter was laying hands on people, all of a sudden his flesh came. He said, "Let me bribe you." And he looked at him, he said, "What did you say? I thought you went through the counseling class." He said, "Let me shall bribe you." There was even a man in the Bible called Bar Jesus. Bar what? Bar Jesus. You see, you don't read all those parts. The part you read, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper." Do you know that the issue with many of us, as far as our spiritual development is, it's not a complicated issue. It's just our inability to have been taught these truths accurately. That means that it is possible that I am born again. It is possible that I've given my heart to the Lord, but I am ruled. In other words, my impulses in life are by another factor and agency other than the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, that is a possibility. That means a carnal man is a slave to the flesh. What is flesh? Flesh does not just mean body. We see that being interchanged in the Pauline epistle. When Paul begins to write to the church, he uses flesh to mean body, like Galatians 2:20. And then he uses flesh to represent the sin nature. So let me define flesh as far as this context is. Flesh is a way of life that is helplessly subject to the appetites. Flesh is a way of life that is helplessly subject to the appetites, comma, the lusts, comma, and the desires of the old man, That is the sinful nature. Let me take it again. Flesh is a way of life that is helplessly, notice my choice of words, helplessly subject to the appetites, the lusts, and the desires of the sinful nature. If that is the reality in your Christian experience, then you are walking in the flesh. I don't care whether you are a pastor of 1 billion members. That means if you study your life sincerely and you find out that you are helplessly subject to the appetites, the lusts, and the desires of the old man, that means the things you used to have lust and appetite for. In fact, to make matters worse, there are certain things we didn't even have appetite for before we got born again. Then when we got born again, we started cultivating a very, very bad desire for those things. Flesh. A way of life that although you are born again, you find out that everywhere you go is controlled by a factor other than the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So you're eating. You are helplessly under the bondage of gluttony. There is no way of escape. That's flesh. You are helplessly under the bondage of immorality. As a guy, you cannot see a lady. You can't even give a lady a good Christian hug and go back fine. You will need to pray for 3 days and say, what did I do to myself? Some of you, when you are coming for koinonia, you get scared. Oh, this koinonia ladies again. It's not the ladies. You need to hear this. Let me tell you the truth. There are many people who talk and complain about ladies and say, ladies are seducing us. It is true that nudity and all of these things are bad. But can I tell you the truth? Even if those same ladies wear hijab head to toe, the same thing will happen to the guy. What he needs is to pass through the cross experientially. And that's what I'm going to be teaching. The way of life. It's amazing how many of us are truly not led by the Holy Ghost. We are led by impulses. Oh, give me money. Let me go and buy Yvonne. I must buy this type. There is an appetite that is not sponsored from the spirit. Flesh. Carnality. Send me money, Abi. I'm not doing again. Huh? What kind of relationship is this? Love you can't show. I thought I sent you money last week. Send it again. Flesh. Carnality. Listen to me. Oh, I must buy this. At my level, I should have a car. I should have a suit of 200,000. Flesh. Sponsored. You have become a victim of certain appetites that are outside of the jurisdiction of the spirit. You have refused to allow him to gain total control. And this is what has sponsored many messages in the body of Christ. Most of these Solomon messages we preach in the body of Christ are a revelation to a spiritual man that we are still slaves to these things. Hallelujah. A lot of people, when somebody buys a new car, they come and you see what they do around the car. Mwah, 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 mwah. 7 prophetic kisses around the car. And you see them do a lot of things. And you are wondering, that is claiming, I guarantee you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. That is flesh at work. Trust me. Trust me. There are people who are praying. There are many of us, if your phone gets missing, your prayer life will suffer for 1 month to pay the price of the absence of your phone. Flesh. Controlled by an impulse that is not the Spirit of God. If they steal your money, your friend, including your friend who was not around, he didn't even know you had the money. You lied to everybody you didn't have money till they stole it. Where is my money? The friend said, I don't know. All of you must produce it. We will take up this case. How much? 500. Yet for 1 week, say, it's not like nothing leaves me just like that. I know my right. While you think it's civil right, I'm revealing to you right now that it's not civil right. It's flesh on rampage. Flesh unrestrained. Hallelujah. All kinds of things. A man of God is preaching in a church and he just jumps around and just feels like enjoying himself. And you know, all kinds of stupid things happen in the church. Let me tell you the truth. It's not about age. It's about a position that the Spirit keeps you. You can be 60 years and still be a victim of flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A way of life sponsored by factors that are outside of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Flesh. A lifestyle that has determined who you marry. If it's not a rich man, don't even come near me. Because if you come near me, I don't want to tell you, we have suffered. And some of our parents have crystallized the warning. They have already told you, see, you too, you are seeing what has happened in this house. You better don't bring anything that puts us in trouble. Yes, mommy. And so while the Holy Ghost is saying, look this way, you are saying, God forbid, back to sender. I know what I want. We have composed songs that we thought came from the throne room. But these songs were a way of spiritualizing the existence of flesh in our lives. Hallelujah. A church member, 1 week to church service, you are depressed over what to wear on Sunday. You can't pray, you can't fast, you are just wondering, what did I wear 3 Sundays ago? I think it was green. Kai, I'm sure people must have seen me. Let me not fall my hand. Let me assure you, it's not excellence. This one has, there is a boundary of excellence. It will cross the boundary and it has become flesh. It's not organization. Let's not confuse these things. Flesh at work. Hallelujah. Flesh has made many of us to disown our parents. Your father is a carpenter. You live in a small house there, but because there is the pride of life. When people come, you just say, he's one of those my relatives. He likes disturbing me. This is your real father. You lie that your father is abroad. Till today, nobody has known. You make a mysterious call and say they called you abroad. You are not in any relationship. You told a lie. My boo is abroad. It's not any abroad. It's not anywhere. Come on now. Flesh. Hallelujah. I hope as you are laughing, you are really hearing what God is saying. Because this is a very serious issue. I wonder why you are laughing. It's a very, very serious issue. Flesh. Right. The ultimate sign of carnality. This is where the rubber hits the road now. In the next 1 minute, you are going to know where you stand. The Lord revealed this directly to me. The ultimate sign of carnality is what I call uncontrolled lust. Period. The ultimate sign that you are a carnal believer is uncontrolled lust. The word lust there doesn't just mean immorality. You can put in bracket desires and appetites. The moment your appetites cannot be controlled, you are a carnal believer. Sex is good. It was put as a blessing, a consummation of marriage. If you cannot wait, you are a carnal believer. Wealth is good. Wealth is great. But if you cannot follow through with the Spirit, many people have gone to herbalists because they want to prove a point. Even in our homes, I want to be the first person to build a house. I want to be the first person to marry. I want to be the first. What will we do with the first? What will it do to you? I want to be the first person. God forbid, my younger sister can never look finer than me. Blah, 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 blah. I'll pour acid on your face. Flesh. Flesh. The ultimate sign of carnality is uncontrolled desire. The moment your desires are beyond your control, you are walking in the flesh. Whether you are a pastor, listen to me. There are many of us, if we are to be sincere with ourselves, there are things that we can control, but there are things we cannot control. The devil cannot throw you with money, but women. Ah! He won't even need to try twice. There are certain people the devil cannot throw you with women or money, but anger. Once the devil wants to get you, you can break a bottle of minerals and wound somebody, your fellow pastor. Say, that's to tell you that the fact that I'm wearing this collar doesn't mean I'm a fool. Spirituality doesn't mean I will remove my shirt and wound you. Carnality. There are many of us, you can control everything aside from movies. Aha. You wake up by 4 o'clock. You leave food to burn in the kitchen. You are watching movie. When you are about to go, you pause it quickly and you run. The latest movie that comes out, you would rather use the money for a retreat or anything. Just, you are fasting. It's true you didn't eat, but you spend the whole time watching movies. I don't care whether it's Jesus of Nazareth, whether it's Lord of the Rings, whether it's whatever. There is an addiction. So when I talk of lust, this affinity is carnality. Let's pray in tongues for 1 minute. Just pray in tongues and let it just sink down. Tonight you are face to face with destiny, and you will have to make a decision. Oh Lord, I want to rise. There is a height in the spirit that I must attain. There is a height in the spirit. No more pretense. I'm ready to confront my fears. Something is wrong, and whatever it is, I tap into the supply of the spirit. Oh, there is a way out. There is a way out. Hallelujah. John chapter 2. 1 John. Please, let's run. 1 John chapter 2.
Emmanuel, all the world is calling your name. Emmanuel, when you come again. Emmanuel, and the church will see your holy face. Emmanuel, when you come to reign.
1 John chapter 2. From verse 15. Okay, I thought it was projected. 2 verse 15. John was a very strange apostle because he encountered God in very strange ways. And John was helping us to manage the predicaments that come with this level in a bid to become true spiritual men. And he had this to say. Everyone read. One, two, read. Stop. The word world there talks of the social system and all its attractions. And the word love there is not the word agape. It's not the word philia. Agape is the highest form of love, God's own kind of love. Philia is brotherly love, the highest form of earthly love, the love between a man and a woman and all of that. But the word used here is called eros, is the word lust. Don't develop a craving, an affinity, an uncontrolled desire for this system and all that it has to offer. Are you getting my teaching now? So it's not just talking of love in terms of the same love, for God so loved the world. No. The word for God so loved the world is the word agapeo. agape, unconditional love that stems from a heart of purity. But this is not it. Paul is saying, love not the world. In other words, John is saying, in this system, there are many things that can attract you. An expensive phone, the latest car, latest weave on, latest suit. There are all kinds of things that you can have affinity for. And Paul and John is saying, if you are not careful, although you are born again, you can begin to develop an uncontrolled affinity. Sometimes you may call it passion, but you may not know when passion graduates into an affinity. When you can kill because of something, when you can compromise your Christian faith because of something, it's no longer passion. It has become eros. Many of us can tell lies for a relationship. You don't care. Many of us can reduce your age for work with civil defense. You are 35, you said you are 24. The bank says minimum 27 years. You were 27 years since. But you said, Kai, I desperately need a job. The world must work. And you went and reduced your age, for instance. I'm not condemning you. But I'm telling you that it's a reality that you must rise beyond. It's amazing. As a lady, you love God. But because you are broke, a married man looks at you and says, beautiful lady. And you want to move, but your mouth responds on its own. Yes, sir. Well done, sir. And your brain is saying, we didn't discuss. He says, stay behind. I've been suffering. And the man says, are you free? He says, of course, I'm free. But you are a Christian. Maybe I'm speaking prophetically, who knows, to someone sitting right here and looking at me. You know where you came from. All was not well from last Koinonia till today. There are still mysterious phone numbers. You saved his name as Grace. You saved his name as Mommy. But it doesn't matter. That's how far your Christian experience can go. Once it comes to your desires, there are many of us, when we are broke, everybody knows you are not a Christian again. Even if it is 2,000 that is left, you just want to see money around you. Even if you don't have anything to do, once you see money, you can lie down on it and roll and say, thank you, Jesus. Even if you don't have anything to do with it. You are on the way and you find out that all you have is your transport. You will go back and pack more. You just want that security. Eros. An affinity that is satanic. You bought your car. Even the person washing your car, you almost slapped him because of the kind of sponge he was using to wash the car. Use foam. I spent $5 million on this car. My car. Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I have built myself this kingdom. God said, you will become a beast for 7 years. So John is saying, love not the world. There are some of us, we don't love the world, but we love what is in it. He said, neither the things that are in this world. Neither the things that are in this world. And this is what the apostle says. If any man has this affinity for the world, the conclusion of the matter is what? The love of the Father. That means if you have eros for this cosmos, that means the agape of God is not at work in you. That means I can see your love for God by how much the things of this world mean nothing to you. Are you seeing it now? The higher and the hotter your love for God gets, the more you know, I can lose this. Thank God for this big house, but it can go and I will not die. Many of our parents had stroke the day their car caught fire. How much did they buy the car? 1.5. They just fell down and got up and there was stroke because the brain was not functioning well. Ah! Some of you, just because you saw your CGPA, five, maybe 1.5 and 5 carryovers. You went and bought, what's this rat poison? You bought rat poison. There are many of us that our parents are looking at us like investment. The same way you have investment in the bank. That's how they are looking at you. What did you get? 1.5. It's almost like telling the person your investment is going down. And your father says, I will kill you. And you go and buy rat poison. Is that your definition of life? And some of us, our lust has been worsened by the mindsets that our territories bring. Is that true? Once you are 25 years as a lady, they say you are not married. Just like that. What is wrong? Are you driving men away? And you leave feeling bad. You say, God, see, me, I'm tired of all this mockery. And you say, Lord, give me a man or I die. No, you won't die. God will give you a man, but that or I die, remove it. That was not part of the prayer point the Holy Ghost gave you. That one came as a result of lust. 16. Shibala suta balana makatia. For all that is in this world is categorized into three. Everybody say three. Everything you can desire is categorized into three. What is the first one? The lust, the eros, the affinity that comes by reason of the fact that you have eyes. You see that your eyes can be a gateway to chain you. Right? All of a sudden, I'm seeing Ayomide's, what they call this thing? Your necklace. And I go and get into fasting. Fasting that was motivated by lust. Oh Lord, let my father know no rest. That 100,000 must come out. Your parents could afford a simple phone of 5,000. They say, manage first. You insulted your mother. When you came, you were saying, Lord, a partner must arise. I don't care from where. And you go to prayer band, prayer department. Benga, I have a problem. There is a particular breakthrough I'm trusting God for. Whereas that breakthrough is phone of 100,000. You have disturbed everybody about that thing. I must get this phone before the end of this month. Because you saw it. If you were blind, that kind of loss will not come. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the Bible calls it the lust that is sponsored by sight. There are many things that happen to our Christian life when we saw something. The Bible says when Eve saw that the tree was good, the fruit was good. When she saw. The Bible said how that David was roaming about and he saw. Everybody say he saw. Some of you, the trouble of your life started when you saw. You entered a boutique you should not enter and you saw. And you wrote your prayer request based on all the things that you wrote. Shoes of 40,000. Gucci Rush 25,000. As you are not married, no, for your everyday life. You have already written your wedding budget. If it doesn't give me 2.5 million, who are you? What sort of loss is this? I can't use with one of 1.5. Me? At my level? No, come on. I'm more than that. Who told you? Who told you are more than that? I can tell you who told you. The preacher. The lust-driven preacher who is obsessed all about suits and shoes and travels abroad. He's the one that told you that kind of news and said you are bigger than that. Shout, I'm bigger than that. Say yes. Say do all within your power. By the end of this month, you should get out of that realm. Some of you are supposed to be having jeeps, and you get up and you dance and you are happy. You do not know that that is igniting something that may not be accurate. Hallelujah. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh, sorry. Okay, we're talking about the eyes. Number two is the lust of the flesh. Now, this flesh talks of your body. Look at me. Let me tell you something. This body you are wearing If you do not know how to bring this body under control, it will surprise you. Let me tell you some things about the body you don't know. The body does not know how to see consequences. It only responds to pleasure. That's why a man at the point where he's driven sexually can sleep with a little girl like this, our baby here. A lady that is his granddaughter. Because at that point, the body does not know how to read consequences. It only knows how to respond to desire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The lust of the flesh. Samuel saw Eliab, and when he looked at him, he was broad-chested. And he looked and said, no, this is the kind of person, macho and great. God said, no way. That's not how I judge. There is one smelly boy in the wilderness. That's the one I've anointed. Hallelujah. The lust of the flesh. There are many of us that we are driven by our body. Whatever your body wants, you give it. And by body, I don't just mean immorality. Food. Some of us are gluttons. You eat everything. Even if you don't want to eat it, you want to lie down and touch it. It's within my reach. Lust of the flesh. Look at me. Let me prove to you that many of us are suffering from lust of the flesh. Go back to your room and see every possession you have. How many of them are you really using? Yet you will never give out any because you think it's good for me. You have 20 suits. You are not a minister of the gospel. You will never give it. The Holy Spirit says, sow it. You said back to sender because you thought it's a demon spirit. Praise the Lord. Whatever will make my body feel good. There are some of you, you bought your Bible from Jordan Bookstore, 750 naira, yet your perfume is 15,000. Lust of the flesh. You thought I wouldn't talk about it. Come on now. Yes. If you see a little rash on your hand, you will not just go to Pharmac and treat it. You will deworm yourself. You will take care of yourself. If you are looking and say, Kai, it looks like I'm getting fat, ba? You can pay for as much as 50,000 naira. You can get up and jog. You can pay that price and not complain because you want your body to be at its best. Hallelujah. If there is a small boil around your eyes, you go and buy 15,000 naira eyeglass and wear it for 2 days and take every kind of antibiotic and force that boil. While the antibiotic is working, you are using hot water. Go down. Don't embarrass me. Go down. That's how far you can go for your body. But to pray for 1 hour, something brings a weight on you. And once you just pray, you are finished praying and you found out that it's just 10 minutes. And say, well, that's the most important thing. It's not about longevity. Is God speaking to someone tonight? The lust of the flesh. I will never, never exalt the quality of my spiritual stature above the comfort of my body. No way. If I eat food of 5,000 naira, that means my spirit man must eat food of 10,000 or 15,000 naira. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of us to fast. If you are not fasting, you can even stay till 12. And I'm not... Do you know that I found out that most of the gluttons are the thin people like me? You eat and the moment you finish, you just ask the other person, you are not eating, ba? You'll be looking at it as if you don't like it. You say, take it. You say, no, Kai. I don't like eating this kind of food so much. And you bring it and you will be playing and gisting and level it there again. Two of you will go somewhere. You ate one bowl of food by three. You added another one before you came for Koinonia. When you went to branch to your friend's house, you still added something. Right now you are waiting for me to round up welfare, donut and zobo. You will buy four. Your friend will beg you, you will still cut from it. And eat. Let me tell you, hold on. Don't laugh. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. It may not be demonic, but it's a weight. It's part of the reasons why you cannot break through in the spirit. Sometimes I sit down and I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, what am I doing to my body that I'm not doing to my spirit? I take care of my body. But many of us, the entire scope of our lives, my body, it must be fresh. Your cream will finish, will be trekking around Zaria by 10 p.m. You must get the cream. They say, hey, just use this Vaseline in the morning before you know. The last time I used Vaseline was when I was 12 years old. You can go that far to keep this body fresh. Listen to me. 10 minutes and this body becomes empty. It lies down. I've been in the mortuary a number of times. And brothers and sisters, I saw people who I know were nice people. Fresh skin, handsome guy, beautiful lady. But at that point, the body does not hold any weight. It is the content of your spirit that now matters. You eat spaghetti at the expense of your spiritual growth. You buy anything at the expense of your spiritual growth. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. But if you allow this body to be the governing factor, you want to go and eat and the Holy Ghost is saying, stay, there's something I want to tell you. That hunger, you can't control it. Carnality, eros, an affinity. You want to buy Yvonne and the Holy Ghost says, sow the money. He said, Kai, you want everybody to now kukuma say, I don't have money to put another Yvonne. Who cares? Please, is God speaking to someone? And then finally, which is the most dangerous of three of them, is the pride of life. Let me tell you what this means. Pride that comes as a result of accomplishment. It's not called pride. It's called pride that is developed as you walk through life. All of a sudden you found out that without reading you nailed 5 points. All of a sudden you found out that there are certain things around your life that seems to make you notable. You are exceptionally handsome. You are exceptionally beautiful. You speak exceptionally. All of a sudden, you found out that you are the object of envy. Everybody uses you as their reference. Your picture is secretly hidden on their phones. Oh God, make me like XYZ. And like Nebuchadnezzar, you will arise. And you will tell yourself, wow, I didn't know that I was this great. And you come to a point where you tell God, Lord, the truth is, I have received enough accolades. With or without you, I am contented. Pride of life. When you are celebrating your 30 years birthday, and you find out that there are 3 jeeps, you are worth 50 million naira. You are above your contemporaries. You are working in a job that they are giving you 450,000. You laugh. Larger than life. I have arrived. When as a preacher, God honors you with grace and anointing. The sick are being healed. There is a demonstration of the Spirit in your ministry. You never come and struggle. Other men of God are struggling and scrounging, but for you, the heavens are opened. The tendency. It is very difficult to acknowledge God in the face of good things. Because we always want people to see the effort we put to make things happen. Is that true? So I rather say, I did it. God helped me. I built this empire by my hands. My 5 points, Abba. Even if I close my eyes and I write the exam like this, I'll still get 5 points. My job, I'm the best staff. Even them, they know. If I leave that job now, they are dead. That company is standing because of me. The pride of life. I am the youngest in my family, yet everybody bows to me. The firstborn sees me and calls me, sir. That's what Lucifer said. He said, I will arise. I will exalt myself above the stars. When I look at other angels, compared to their light, it's like the sun and the moon. And so I know, everybody knows in heaven, that after the Trinity, I'm next in line. It's not a thing of argument. And so let me just exalt myself. Some of us here looking at me, what will destroy us and stop us from being spiritual is pride. You sit with people after 5 minutes, you've told them every accomplishment of your life. I was in a meeting on the other day and I stretched my hands and 70 people just fell. How many wheelchairs? Is it 10 blind eyes or 12 staff? We didn't even have time to count. Pride of life. I'm the youngest entrepreneur. I'm a multi-millionaire as you see me like this. It's just that I'm humble. I'm a multi-millionaire. Pride of life. I can't come out. Every man that sees me, they should let me rest. They are all disturbing me. I'm even tired. I don't know what to do again. Say there are other ladies, they should disturb them. Pride of life. We all know where you are going to. Pride of life. Hallelujah. When you believe that you can exist outside of God, it is called pride. When you find it an embarrassment to acknowledge Christ as being the ultimate reason behind your success, it's called pride. There are many people today, by extension, they cannot acknowledge the impact that people have made in their lives. Hallelujah. I know people who were raised and trained by certain spiritual figures in the body of Christ. But now that they have arisen, they say, this is one of the people that contributed in my life. He taught me some things here and there. Here and there. Whereas the foundation of their Christian experience, to acknowledge and say, God used this person. He's such an influence in my life. They feel if I say it, people will feel me too. Now I have sons too in ministry. Pride. Some of us come to a point where we cannot even greet our parents. You can't bend down and greet your parents with dignity and respect. Because your father calls you sir. My father calls me sir. My own biological father. But I will never, until Christ comes, nothing will ever make me look at my father and disrespect him. Even if I'm going for a ministration and there is protocol and I see my mother carrying something on her head, I will leave it and go and pick it up. Let the suit go places. When did you lose your sense of acknowledging God? The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge. It didn't say talk about him. Acknowledge. You know what it means to acknowledge? If we are to acknowledge our daddy prof here, we are going to say, everybody arise. Let us appreciate and recognize the presence of our daddy. And then we will clap and acknowledge him. Then the program can continue. That's what it means to acknowledge God. Not that in the middle of your life, you say stop because you are feeling guilty. It's okay, let's recognize God. God, thank you. Let's continue. Pride. It says, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. When you find out that you have extreme craving for pleasure and comfort, when you have extreme craving for material things, material things means anything. Anything at all. When you have extreme cravings to satisfy the appetites of your body, be it food, be it clothes, be it desires. When you find out that you have extreme cravings for recognition and position. See, there are some of us here that as quiet as we are seated, the way we love position and power, you can kill for it. Including some of us who are ladies. You look humble. But let God join you to a man of God. That's when the true you will come out. Mama. There's a seat for mama. The day you see somebody sit down. Mama sit. Mama sit. Who are you to sit down mama seat? There are some people, you cannot come and quietly, you are a great man of God, but to come and sit down quietly, no, it won't happen. All hail Apostle Joshua Selman, the man who has raised 25 dead people and cast out demons at will, and everybody recognizes him, and an entourage comes. Hail Joshua Selman. Many of us, that's our secret desire. That's why you found out that every time you keep seeing yourself anointed in the dream, it has never happened physically. Because God wants to make sure you listen to this message. Hallelujah. Is that true? Many of us, secretly, you crave recognition. Recognize me. You work together as a group and suffer. When you go somewhere, they say, who did it? You say, I'm the one. And maybe your own contribution was just critique. You didn't even do anything, yet you say, I'm the one.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Hallelujah. You must not be embarrassed to acknowledge Christ. See, what I'm teaching you will make you a spiritual man. I am absolutely nothing outside of Christ. I'll give you two keys right now that will transit you to becoming a spiritual man. We're going to pray shortly. To become a spiritual man, the first thing that must happen to you is death to the flesh. Number one, death to the flesh. Romans chapter 13 verse 14. You must die to this way of life that craves to sponsor a desire that is not of God. Romans 13 verse 14. I like all of us to read, please. It's projected. Let's hurry up. One to read. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts thereafter. Make no provision. Make no provision. Do not create an atmosphere for that manner of life to thrive. Make no provision. What does it mean to die to the flesh? It means to sustain or rise to a spiritual state where your spirit, your soul, and your body can effortlessly withstand the pressures, the lusts, and the cravings of the flesh. I'll take it again. To rise to a spiritual state where your spirit, soul, and body can effortlessly withstand the pressures, the lusts, and the cravings of the flesh. Oh, there is such a possibility in the spirit that you can rise. You become a spiritual man when you die to the flesh. That means you can prepare food for me to eat right now, but when the Holy Ghost says it's time to fast, I still sustain the spiritual capacity to turn that plate upside down and say, I wanted to eat it. Oh, I like salad. I like fruit salad. But at the demand of the spirit, without argument, it can go. Hallelujah. Yes. I love my wristwatch, but at the demand of the Spirit, it can go. Thank God for the money in my bank account. But if the Lord says, sow it, without thinking twice, I can go to the ATM and withdraw it. I can be in a lovely relationship. I like the guy. And God says, I require that relationship as a sacrifice. And you don't say, God, kill me. Just kill me. Hallelujah. There is a lifestyle that you are living. And because of the customized dealing of God, let me tell you something. God works with us differently. On account of certain, the scope of your work with God, He may give you certain extra rules that are not for others. Are you getting my point? It's the personalized dealing of the Spirit to position you for the unique place it's taking you. So there are times that other people, you don't come to my house and find me watch movies. There are few times that I've watched, even I'm talking of Christian movies, because it's a sacrifice. I cannot generalize it. It's not a burden on you, but it's a sacrifice that I must take on account of a position that I represent for the body of Christ. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen, part of the benefits of working with the Spirit is He begins to give you instructions that are unique to your dealings with Him. It may not be so for everybody. There are ladies who do not wear trousers, and that came as part of the customized dealings that God gave them because of where He's taking them to. There are ladies who don't even, they barely apply makeup. Just very mild, just very basic. Because God has shown them maybe that they are going to become a man of God's wife. And because of that position that they occupy, certain sacrifices, certain lifestyles must be placed on the altar so that it will make them to be perfect complements for that man. And on account of that, the Holy Ghost will draw them into an experiential dealing. Are you learning something now? There are certain people, God will give you certain things. I don't wear chains. You don't see rings around my hand. I won't criticize someone for wearing chains and all of this. But on account of what I represent, and on account of the kind of message and the spiritual paradigm I have been committed to give the body of Christ, I will need to maintain a life of modesty that can minister to all and sundry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If that does not happen to you, you are still carnal. If the demands of the Spirit of God on you is too heavy for you, you are carnal. Who is God speaking to tonight? Other people can pray for 1 hour. But because God has called you into a particular ministry, based on you and God, a measure has been drawn that you must at least pray for 2 to 3 hours a day. Without compromise, whether it is 30 minutes, there must be a system between you and God. That becomes the rule, your own unique pathway to spiritual progress. Any other formula will not work for your spiritual upkeep, because God has revealed to you your unique blueprint. There are things I do every week. I may not advise people to do it. You may not sustain the spiritual capacity to do that kind of thing. It may be too much sacrifice, but that is the kind of foundation that can host the kind of anointing He has given me. If you run short of that standard, it will kill you. There is a minimum time of interaction that I must have with the Spirit of God in a week. Because I know that if I delve into error, I'm going to confuse too many people. So I thank God for the crowd. I thank God for the apostolic reach. We have over 10,000 plus members on Facebook. I cannot afford to confuse these people. And therefore I wait to make sure that that which comes from the Spirit is in sync. And that will require fasting. That will require praying. It may not be like that for you, but that is the building that helps me to carry the anointing. Who is God speaking to tonight? Because there are many of you, God has begun to carve out a map for your spiritual progress, but you have compromised it because you want to be like everybody. Return to the pattern of your building, and you will see yourself rise. There are some of you, the Lord has told you that I will meet with you from 1 a.m. to 3 or 1 a.m. to 2. God told you that most of His encounters with you will be in the night. But right now you have gob. Sleep has become an idol. Lust of the flesh. You want your body to rest. Ah, it's raining. And every time he comes to that Garden of Eden, you are not there. And there are mysteries that he wants to give you. Other people can be strolling on the street and God can say, park your car. But for you, part of the blueprint he gave for your unique, the blueprint that will make you a spiritual man. But you have compromised on it because you want to become like everybody. There are some of you, God told you that you must listen to at least one Koinonia message every day. It may not be like that for everybody. You have not even had the to buy a hard drive of 15,000. But in 1 week, you have bought clothes, useless things. Tonight, God is asking us to return to the pattern that makes men truly spiritual. Can I tell you something? I submit to you, many of the things that we do in the body of Christ, this is not how God trained me. This is why when I look at many people, they are surprised that they are not seeing the glory of God. There is a pattern. If you follow the apostolic blueprint that God gives for building men, I guarantee you, no matter how weak you are, you must become strong. There are many of us, the grace of your spiritual development is tied. You see, there are times in the spirit where God will demand you to pray more than usual because there are certain realms you need to access. And there are the first hour of that prayer is to contend with the powers and create the portal to hear his voice. You have not even started prayer requests. You are praying in tongues yet. And that prayer is aligning your spirit to that frequency of the Holy Ghost where you can begin to hear his voice. Secrets that make men powerful in this realm. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a path of spiritual progress. There is a pathway in the spirit. When you find it and follow it, you will become powerful indeed. It is not a unique thing for many people. There is a price. There is a price to be spiritual. You see why I talk against some of these messages we preach around? I tell you, there is a price. You want to see the glory of God in your life? Stay on course with the building. You must die to the flesh. Death to the flesh also means attaining a position in your Christian experience. Attaining a position in your Christian experience where your craving for food, your craving for bodily satisfaction, your craving for pleasure, your craving for fame loses its power and its dominion over you. You like food, but it can go. You are a married man. It's a good thing to meet husband and wife. But there are times that you can be able to discipline yourself so that you can access certain things in the spirit. You like going out for picnics. You like visiting friends. You are a social person. But when God places a demand, the moment you hear the headquarters calling, at once, every other thing becomes secondary. That's a spiritual man. You have died to the flesh truly. There is a lady you are planning to ask out. You've been planning to ask her. You plan that tonight, after Koinonia, tonight is the night. If you are going to die, you will die. You have already rehearsed. Your friend told you it's okay. What you can say will work for you. But while you are sitting, God says, hold on a bit. Just give 2 weeks. I need to prepare her to answer you. Say, how long, oh God? Hope the fast make the heart weary. If you are a spiritual man, your only language is yes, sir. When you become a true man of the spirit. See, these are the uncommon postures that men can have that makes devils to run away from them. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass over me. If it be thy will, I don't want to have to go through this separation. However, not my will. That's the language of the spiritual ones. Oh, not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. If it means me staying without marriage, not my will, oh God. If it means me dropping my degree,
I know I went to school and I got masters, and God says, I'm calling you into the ministry, not my will. You want to go to London, and God says, no, I'm navigating you to Oyo State. You say, me, Oyo, oh God, I'm from the north. Nevertheless, not my will. Not my will. Not my will. From today, I want you to begin to wake up by 12 or 1. Just 12 to 1. And sit down in an atmosphere of worship. I want to talk to you. Oh Lord, based on my work, I come back late. But I trust you to supply the grace. Not my will, but your will. When was the last time you said, not my will? No, it must be my own. It is my own.
My altar is calling you, oh God. My altar is calling you, oh God. My sacrifice is calling you.
It's good to like ladies, but if you cannot create a boundary, then you are not a spiritual man. It's good to like honor, receive honor when you are given, but brothers and sisters, when it does not come, it should mean nothing to you. You should be able to remove your 50,000 naira suit and drop it and say yes. You should be able to roll your wigon in his presence and say, Lord, I was nothing when you picked me up. Who is God speaking to today? I know you are the hottest lady, but how much can you die to the flesh and its appetite? Must you go and visit the man? Must you visit him every time? Every time you go to his house, he's sleeping with you, and God told you, stop it. Stop it! Must you go there? Oh, it's just Kaduna, it's a stone throw. That is a sacrifice that you should be able to say, Lord, for the excellency of my spiritual progress, I give it up. Who is God speaking to? Go and delete all of those things and say, it's over. I'm ready to arise. I'm ready to be strong. I'm ready to walk in truth. Let no sacrifice be too much. When you hear his voice, let the call be yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to the fasting. Yes to the prayer. Yes to the discipline. Yes to the sacrifice. Yes to the delay. Yes to the mockery. Yes to the ridicule. Yes to the misunderstanding. I will still go into it if I know you are with me. Papa Adeboye said something. He said, if the Lord asked him to leave this work now and go to another country, that the only thing is that he's going to say, Lord, will you be with me? If God says yes, he's going to go. I love that song.
Oh yes, Lord, we will obey.
Help me worship team.
Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your way.
Enough of fighting with the demands of the Holy Ghost. Let me give you the last one. So the first one is death to the flesh. No matter how late tonight, we must pray and ask the Lord to end this flesh thing in our lives. Look at me. Anything you cannot give God, it must die in your life. I'm preaching to you. Anything you cannot give God. Anything you cannot give God. I'd like you to scan your life in 1 minute and look at what it is that you know truly. If God makes a demand, it cannot go. That is the idol that has stopped you from the next level. Number 2, becoming a spiritual man
entails walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3 from verse 16. The ultimate antidote to conquering the flesh is walking in the Spirit. It's not enough to die to the flesh. You must walk. What's that? Galatians 5, not 3, sorry. 5:16. 5:16. It says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit." And if you truly walk in the Spirit, whatever that means, when that happens in your life, it says you shall not what? That means that is the only way. Walking in the Spirit becomes our true biblical recommendation for conquering the lust of the flesh. If you do not walk in the Spirit, you will never be a spiritual man. Many people think being spiritual is that you pray. Many people think being spiritual is that you fast. Many people think being spiritual is that you are a man of God or you are a ministry. Or being spiritual is that you look at ladies and run away. Many people think being spiritual is that you have been born again for 20 years. No, sir. No, sir. When the flesh still has control over you, when you cannot say no, you are still carnal. You are still carnal. You are still carnal. There are times in your life God will demand certain things. He plans to give you back. He just wants to help you grow. And in that interim, He will say, "Give it to me. Abraham, take Isaac. Offer him as a burnt offering." And then at the end, you will find out that the real offering has been kept. God didn't have anything to do. Look at the prophet. God told him to eat cow dung for 1 year. Have you read your Bible? Animal feces, mix it and eat for 1 year. God further told him to lie down on one side of the bed. One side of the bed for 1 year. These were men who could do anything. If there are things you cannot do for God, don't criticize men who have given their all. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are some people who can do anything because they've given up. Deliverance from worry. Give it up. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Two things, quickly. Number one, it means to depend on the grace and the power that is supplied by the person of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Depend on the grace and the power that is supplied by the arrival of the Holy Ghost in your life. When He comes into your life, He comes with grace. This is a true teaching of grace. He comes with an ability, power that can help you. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, if that power is not working in my life, if I were left to just be Joshua Selman, maybe the children that I will have will be like your luxurious hostel by now. Humanly speaking, I'm a young man. Humanly speaking, all of the encumbrances of youthfulness can find expression. But when you lean on a superior grace, there is an ability of the Spirit. I had a scripture years ago. Let me show you that scripture. Jude 24. It says, "Now unto him," am I right? Please look for it. That's right. "Now unto him that is able," everybody say able. Able. Look at me. The Bible says God is able. That means it is within His power to supply grace. Not that He will do it for you. He will supply the spirit power, the strength, the spiritual impetus, the energy. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from masturbation," keep you from pornography, for real, keep you from immorality, although you have done it all your life, but there is one, there is a supply that the Spirit of God can bring to your life. Many of you are praying in tongues, but you have not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. The keeping power, the staying power, the power that can make you look at a lady and say you are such a pretty lady and still go back and sleep sound. It's not normal. It is of the Holy Ghost. May someone catch a revelation tonight and come out of certain things forever. Listen. My father used to suffer from anger and it affected me. While I was growing up, I found out that I could be temperate. I could just get angry and react. Very hot tempered, and I mean, my patience was very short. But when I found out that there is a supply of the Spirit, you've been trying it with willpower. This is the teaching that we call the teaching of the law. Trying to use your biological ability. Are you getting my point now? Trying to say, Joshua Selman, I am this and that. Trying to say, I will not look at ladies. I say it's pretty. No, in Jesus' name, blood of Jesus. This is the law. This is trying to use human strength. It doesn't work that way. Because how many nude people do you see in our society every day? You can avoid watching pornography. You can avoid watching this. But what of your lecture? What of your workplace? Are you getting what I'm saying? You see a guy that is dressed, sagging his trouser, and his boxers, his inner wears are already showing. And the guy is just moving around and doing all kinds of things. There are all kinds. It's called the mystery of lawlessness. So what do? You die because there are pretty ladies around you. What do? You are working in a department where there are pretty ladies. Now unto him, hallelujah, who is able to keep you. Everybody say, he can keep me. Say it, he can keep me. Oh, he can supply the strength. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. If he cannot, then he is not qualified to be called Lord. Hallelujah. So you can hold on to that phone and look at it and say, pornography, finally, I have found out that it's not about struggling. You see, the problem is, many of us grace preachers, we do not teach this technology of escape, but we just say, look, just as you believe, meditate on good things, which is nice. But how do you refuse something that is working inside you? It's not just something that is working outside you. There is an agency. It's called the law of sin and death. So, even if a little baby that you give birth to suddenly starts looking at people and pointing his hand, because there is a law. On the other hand, now you sit down and you are saying, oh, the grace of God has appeared to me, but you are dying because this spiritual technology was not shown you. And then we have people who religiously try to say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And the guy says, me, God forbid. Whereas he's dying in silence. He looks at Esther and he's like, hey, oh God, if I don't marry this girl, let me die. Whereas he's claiming he's okay. Both are wrong. One is using human strength and willpower. You have been sleeping with ladies all your life. I hope you know that these things have memory. It's in your mind. You used to club. You used to drink. Your mind has recorded what it feels like. So is it willpower you used to stop? All of a sudden, you look at the lady you used to sleep with. Both of you know, and you're already vulnerable. You want to use willpower. You are joking. You are joking. You are joking. Ah, but there is a supply. They that wait upon the Lord, he says, they shall renew their strength. I love the way he put it. He said they will mount up. Mount up. It's a realm. It's a realm. It's a realm. It's not just about determination. Oh, I will not do this. You will do it. It's a depend on the grace and the power that the Holy Ghost brings to your life. You know that He came into your life, but you are yet to explore the provisions that He came with. And you must cry out that He will open you up to those possibilities. Number two, walking in the Spirit entails, and this is most important, living under the authority of God's word. That means making the word of God the ultimate basis. Making the word of God the ultimate basis for your judgments, for your decisions, for your choices. Walk in the Spirit. The word of God must become the basis for your decisions, for your choices, and for your judgments. Allowing the word of God to rule your thinking, to rule your talking, to rule your actions. Every aspect of your life, you must allow the word to rule your thinking. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Whatsoever things are pure, true, noble, it says think on these things. Our time is up. Rise up, let's pray. I wanted talking about prayer and fasting and showing us a strategy for studying the word, fellowship with the Spirit, and the sacrifice of a pure and holy life. We'll just touch that next week before we move on to another topic. Is someone challenged tonight? Lift your voice and begin to pray and say, flesh, you have no power over me. Come on now, lift your voice, Koinonia. We're out of time. Let's pray. The power of the flesh is broken over my life. The lusts and the appetites, carnality, that which comes as a result of my affinity to this realm, is broken. I break materialism from my life. Go ahead and pray. Holy Spirit, I receive a supply of power, a supply of divine energy. Rababa sekete leboka shota balorabash. Rante proti sekele baba 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 baba. I refuse to be a slave to the appetites of the flesh. I refuse to be a slave. Hallelujah. Last prayer point. We're out of time. Hallelujah. As we make this last prayer point, please, if this is your first time of worshiping with us in Koinonia, I'd like us to save time so that we can get the bus. I'd like you to just come out and stand here. You can be praying while you come. We're going to pray. Mention all the things that you know still have authority over you and declare that by the power of the Spirit, your authority is lost over my life. Go ahead. While we do that, those worshiping with us for the first time, God bless you as you come. Rabakatekete. Pray. Pride, materialism, gluttony, anger, vain glory. Please give them room as they come out. Give them room as they come. God bless you as you come. All of us lift up our voices and let's pray. I'm a changed person. I stop struggling tonight. It's not about willpower. It's not about willpower. Tapping into a supply of the Spirit. Grace that comes by the Holy Ghost. Grace that comes by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. A number of people today. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for coming. I'm sure that you were blessed tonight. Your life will never be the same. I guarantee you. As this word was coming, I want you to know that yokes, burdens, infirmities, just leave people like that. And I know that many of you will return with testimonies. Hallelujah. This is Koinonia. I want to pray for you, and we're all going to pray for you. We're anointed, and when we bless you, you truly are blessed. Stretch your hands, saints of God. Speak, prophesy into their lives. We bless you. Oh, we bless you. From tonight, we bless you with a hunger for prayer, a hunger for the word, a hunger for spiritual things. We declare that your transition to become truly spiritual begins tonight. Every weight, every encumbrance upon your life is broken. Every dominion of the flesh is destroyed in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Eternity Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_KNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Eternity Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.